Welcome back to the Pistols Firing Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Porter, and today's guest is Robert Wetzel of Cowboys Ride for Free. You can follow Robert on Twitter, at RobertW_CRFF, and he does a great job on there and also does a good job of running Cowboys Ride for Free. We talk a little bit about the diamond formation that Oklahoma State employs in football. He had a really good piece on that yesterday. And talk a little Oklahoma State hoops at the end. So hope you guys enjoy the podcast. Okay, Robert Wetzel, Cowboys Ride for Free. I appreciate you coming on the podcast.
No, thanks a lot, Kyle. It's great, and it gives me a little break from work in the middle of the day.
Yeah, we're taping this on a Thursday. I think I'm going to run it either Thursday afternoon or Friday morning. So, you wrote a piece, I guess it was either, I think it was probably Tuesday night, that I posted on a Wednesday about Oklahoma State running the diamond formation and kind of their success out of that. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that. What we look at this, and I think you wrote that they've run it 28 or 29 times this year, and they're averaging 9 yards per play out of it. Why are they not running it more?
Well, I think probably the first I don't know, restriction to them running it, and maybe it's just something that's in their head, is they're thinking, again, as we've all said, this is a pass-first offense, or they would like it to be. And obviously, when you're running out of that set, you don't have as many wide receivers. You're not going five wide. You know, you're limited. So I think personnel might be, one of the reasons they might say they're not using it. Personally, I think it's baloney. I think you based on what you're doing, you run the sets that you have the personnel for. And even Gundy said the other day they're a little bit limited at wide receiver due to Jackson Webb and Hayes having some injury issues. So I would think even then, if you're running short at wide receiver, you can still run that. You can run this offense and still go fast. I love game planning. I love drawing up plays. I was one of those guys. I love drawing up the crazy schoolyard plays, and this formation lends itself to so many variables, whether it be passing or running. That it was funny. I was talking to my brother the other day, and he referred to it as, he played high school football back in the days where you had the old wing T formations, and his comment was that it gives you the ability to basically line up the same way every time, not give any indication what it is you're thinking about doing, so the defense can't necessarily adjust pre-snap because they don't know what direction you're going. And it's just, I was actually looking last night, Kyle, at free, trying to find a free, play editor. Because I was trying to think of doing a post where I could just draw up all the variations you could go to out of this set. I think handled right, this is a great it's a great formation, and they definitely should be using it way more than they are.
Yeah, and it's way different. Obviously Dana Holgorsen introduced it at Oklahoma State back in 2010, and it's just so much. It's the playbook now is so much deeper because you have Walsh able to run it out of that formation, which I think is the way that, maybe specifically that they should use it more. I mean, you've got a great runner in Walsh, and he hasn't, I don't know. It feels like he hasn't run as much as he should have since the Mississippi State game. And you've got two really experienced fullbacks that are, that know this formation, know this offense, and Kai Staley and Seton, and it just, I don't know. I agree with you. I think they should use it more. I did want to ask you how long it took you to look up all the diamond formation plays from the first five games.
Ask my wife. And I actually didn't do the first five games. I only did Mississippi State, West Virginia, and Kansas State. I really, it's hard you've looked at this stuff. It's very hard in the beginning of the season, to break down numbers when people are playing, little sisters of the poor, because those definitely can skew numbers. So I think it's one of the reasons why people have been still a little bit hesitant to say Baylor's this great behemoth, which even if they weren't this great behemoth, they're still a pretty bad man. So, you know, they want to see him play somebody who's going to put up a little resistance. So, hey, looking up those, thank heavens for YouTube. That's all I've got to say.
Yeah, I do. You know, sometimes when I'm researching stuff or going through stuff, I wonder quite often what we did, you know, what sports writers did, and it was different, obviously, but before YouTube, before Twitter, before CFBstats.com, before all this stuff, and you know, I mean, where do you fall on the, you know, sports are being ruined because we have too much information, because we have too many statistics at our fingertips? Is that something that you, do you buy into that, or where do you fall on that?
I don't know about it being, you know, ruined. I think it's sort of like Twitter, and I think you and I maybe a year or so ago may have had a little exchange on this, and that is, you know, the availability of all this stuff just gives a lot more people a voice in it, in the conversation. So there's just a lot more chatter out there. But I think for the vast majority of folks, I think it definitely expands the conversation. I think it makes being a part of sports and covering sports, your favorite team, or if you're doing it professionally, I just think it makes it a much more vibrant endeavor. Because if you took me 10 years ago, I couldn't do this 10 years ago. I mean, for those folks who don't know, I live in Connecticut. You know, I'm not in Oklahoma. I'm not around the program. I'm not in Stillwater. And without the proliferation of the data that is available and the video that is available, I couldn't do it. I couldn't be involved in this. And I can tell you, being able to be involved in the conversation about Oklahoma State I live for it every day. It's crazy. I can't wait to get home. My wife doesn't like it, but I can't wait to get home and put my son to bed so I can break out the laptop and, you know, look at a post, you know, check out the bullets, some of the stuff you've done, go see what somebody threw up, Mark's post about Blackman and Bryant. I've been through that thing, I don't know how many times. I love it. And, just anything else that's out there. I love consuming it, and I'm a sports junkie, and with all this stuff out there and it's available, it just makes my life that much better.
Yeah, and I do feel bad for, you know, some of the beat writers that cover this stuff. And I kind of, I try not to take shots at the Oklahoman or Tulsa World, but it's just, it's so difficult when those guys are out there and girls are out there, chasing quotes and interviewing people and stuff. You can't, there's not enough time in the day to wrap your arms around the stats and the video. I mean, just there's so much stuff, which is cool for sites like Pistols Firing and Cowboys Ride for Free, because we get to do some of the stuff that they don't have time for, which, like you said, can definitely add to the conversation. And you guys, I think I posted this on Tuesday, but Cowboys Ride for Free is actually kind of reorganizing and expanding. Tell me what's going on with just y'all's blog over there and kind of just generally what you're doing.
Well, I got involved a little over a year ago. I had started my own little blog personally just so I could have a place to go talk about it. I needed to. I was driving my wife nuts. And I had to have an outlet. So I started a little blog, and, Cowboys Ride for Free put out a call for writers a little over a year ago. And I think they had done it in a way that was more like, if you're a journalism student at Oklahoma State and you'd like to write for the blog, let us know. And I had responded to whoever put that out. I said, well, I wish I was so I could. And they're like, oh, man, if you want to write, come on over. Well, we'd be happy to have more people. So I started writing, and, the guys that started the blog, and their aliases, they went by Sam and Cincy, that everybody knows, did a tremendous job getting that going and getting connected to the SB Nation network. But as we all know, things change. You know, life happens, and and you have to go different directions. So, you know, those guys were, you're in a place where they weren't really able to push and promote. And so they, you know, they were able to hand the reins over to me. And the biggest part for me, because I have, as with a lot of us, I have a full-time day job. So you need help. You need extra hands at the wheel. And I put the call out, and we got a great response. A lot of people responded who, you know, like me, are just fanatics and they want to talk about it, or folks who are sports journal students at OSU, or people who've had a background. You know, I have a couple people who went to school at OSU and worked for the Old Collie. So they've got some experience writing. They've dealt with stuff online. And I think it's exciting because there's a lot of opportunity. You know, OSU has a great tradition across the breadth of the sports that the school puts out. And, you know, wrestling and baseball and basketball. Well, obviously, we already cover basketball, but that's going to be increased this year. But wrestling, you're going to see some coverage about wrestling. One of the guys is already working on a preview. And I've had a couple of guys ask about it. Baseball is going to get some coverage. A lot of guys want to cover baseball. Recruiting is going to get a lot of attention, as a number of guys expressed interest in doing that. And there's probably going a guy from Land Grant Holy Land came our way through SB Nation, who's helping us out a little bit. We'll see a post later on Thursday, depending on, you know, when you hear the podcast, that's going to have a little recruiting update in or whatever. But we've got some guys that want to do that. So it's really exciting, and I'm excited to be a part of it. It's a lot of fun. I love doing it. I love writing about sports, and it's good to see some other guys, you know, get involved. I told them, my pep talk to them, based on some statistics I've seen, is I'm tired of Cowboys Ride for Free being the Kansas Jayhawk football of Big 12 SB Nation blogs. So I think that's an easy thing to overcome. There's a lot of great stuff going on at OSU, and some people have come forward that they want to cover that. So I think there's good and some good stuff going up, and I think basketball is going to be something that we're going to see a lot more activity around.
I'm kind of afraid to ask this, but in this scenario, does that make you Charlie Weiss, or what is the...
Let's see. I have a hard time. I can always think of the bad ones, and I can always think of the good ones, but I can't think of the program builders. I'm going to, you know, maybe I'm the Gundy. Maybe okay. I can be the Gundy and build a program. Maybe I need to find a Boone to put some money into it.
Yeah. You need a Boone, and you need a Dana Holgorsen or a Todd Monken to
right. There you go. I need the crazy person, but I don't need Holder. I don't want to jack up ticket prices here. This is a free operation.
Yeah, no, I'm excited about it, and I think that you know, I feel like since you kind of took over Cowboys Ride for Free, and you've got Mark Travis obviously contributing and doing a really good job, it's been cool for me to watch it and to you know, whenever I started Pistols Firing, this was probably almost 3 years ago, I emailed David Ubben, who at the time was running the ESPN Big 12 blog, and just said, "Hey, I'm starting this website," which I'm sure he gets, you know, I'm sure he gets that a lot. And, you know, just wanted to let you know, it's going to be an Oklahoma State website. And he was very receptive, just said, "Yeah, you know, there's always," the quote, I guess, that stuck out to me was, "There's always more room on the internet for good writing and good websites and good blogs." And I was like, "Yeah, that's, you know, that's it. That's good." And, you know, obviously me and Evan are friends now, and we go to church together and all that stuff. But, yeah, I kind of feel the same way about Cowboys Ride for Free, and I'm impressed with a lot of the stuff that you guys have been doing, and I think we'll continue to do so. And it makes, you know, it forces me to be better. You know, I'm not the only, you know, I think in the past I was one of, between me and Cowboys Ride for Free, I was the more consistent of the two. And I think you guys have definitely picked that up, and it's been better, and it's been good, and it's been interesting. So yeah, I'm excited about that.
Well, no, I agree with that. There's, you know, and I would say this, that if, you're the Daily Bullets, if whoever's listening to this, Kyle's Daily Bullets are required reading for any Oklahoma State person. If you are not reading Kyle's daily bullets daily, then I can't help you out. All right. But that's a great, you do a tremendous job with that. And it's kind of one of my things is if we write something of quality, if you pick it up on the bullets, I'm like, okay, we did something. Because you're pretty, you know, you consume a lot of stuff. You can, you know, it's part of what you do. And so, you know, when you look at the blogs for Oklahoma State, you've really got our two sites are really the free sites out there. But I don't want to lose track of this before I go too far here. Just to backtrack, there was some tweet this morning about Ubben and a live birth of a goat. And
I don't know if this is going to make this podcast rated explicit on iTunes, but on Tuesday, Ubben called me up and said, "Hey, I'm going down to the Texas State Fair. I'm doing a feature on the food there." And he said, "I don't want to die, and I will if nobody helps me come, you know, helps me eat it all." And so he invited me and my foster son to come down there. We drove down there in the afternoon, ate all the fried food we could handle. I thought I was going to die. And then at the end, I took my kid, to the little petting zoo, and it was actually kind of cool. They had zebras, giraffes. I mean, stuff that you're like, wait, are we still at is this the Texas State Fair or what? And we get to the goat section, and it's cool because the kids can feed the goats and whatever. And I look over, and there is a goat birth going on. I don't know if there's like a term for that or whatever, but
one of the nannies is giving birth. There
yeah,
you go.
It was traumatic, and kids were, you know, parents were like covering their kids' eyes and pulling them away, and I don't. None of the workers there seemed to be fazed by it, but it was not pretty. And we left pretty quickly after that.
Hey, son, you want to go to Dairy Queen or Brahms? There's got to be a Sonic nearby somewhere.
Yeah, it was at the end of the day, and hopefully the kid does not take that into his future as something in his memory bank.
Well, my hope would be that he's going to log that into his memory bank and then at the most inappropriate, uncomfortable moment, ask you about details of that event.
Yeah, that's that's the thing, right? Like kids, you'll say, you know, 700 sentences to them and they'll pick up the one that's the most, you know, inappropriate or whatever. So I don't understand why or how that works, but...
Sure. I wanted to go back and touch real quick on something you mentioned about the, you know, you mentioned it's got to be tough for the folks with the newspapers and even with TV, you know, reporting on sports with, you know, so much information out there. It's been very fascinating to watch both the Tulsa World and the Daily Oklahoman, you know, really work on trying to remake themselves and trying to adjust to this changing sort of sports marketplace. And, you know, you're seeing more, you know, more video content from both of them. The one advantage that they will always have that we generally don't have is access. And how they use that, how they leverage that, I think will be key on them kind of staying in that kind of prime spot in the, you know, sports consumer world, because, you know, I can't go interview players on the team or the coaches, you know, and you're still in the doghouse, I think. You're in the uniform doghouse, I think, still. So
yeah, I think that's a lifetime
doghouse. That might be a lifetime.
I would argue that in terms of access, and I think we've seen this more lately, is that schools and organizations in general, because there are so many ways to get your message out there, that they are less accommodating to places like the Tulsa World and Oklahoma. And not because those places are bad, but the goal, I think, is to control the message. And,
absolutely.
And so that's – I mean – it's weird, but that's almost to the advantage of blogs, because schools like to control their message. Then, you know, the Oklahoma State does not need the Oklahoman and the Tulsa World like they did in, say, 1988 when they were trying to get, Barry Sanders Heisman stuff out there. They don't need that. They can go build a website on their own and drive traffic to that on their own. And so, you know, you see the Cowboy Football Twitter account has something like 30,000 followers. Well, that's way more than anybody for the Tulsa World or Oklahoman or even any of us have. And it's just, you know, I think that you're going to see in the future, and you've already seen it, a bent more towards entertainment. And yes, the access stuff will always, you know, if it's good, it will trump, I think, any type of entertainment that you can do. But my goal has always been, you know, be funny, be interesting, be entertaining. And I think that that's what, I mean, is that kind of what you've tried to do on Cowboys Ride for Free?
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, as I've been communicating with the guys that are coming on board, I'm the straight guy. You've got to catch me in the right moments to get anything that maybe comes off as humorous. I'm not the humor guy necessarily. We've got some other guys like, you know, King, and who's been around a while, does his picks from Joe's, who, has a little bent towards some profanity now and again, but that, you know, it has its place, I suppose, over there. But we've got a couple other people who came on and specifically said, you know, they're more, you know, they probably more interested in and better suited for doing kind of spoof or satirical stuff. So there's definitely the entertainment, there's definitely the entertainment thing. My goal with anything that we put up on the site is generate conversation. Even if it doesn't generate comments, if you generate conversation or discussion, then you've accomplished something. And that's going to help create activity and traffic. So, you just got to keep writing and hope you don't put out, too many duds. Like for us, we tend to be a little more long form with most of our stuff, where, you know, on your site, generally speaking, it's a little more shorter form. We can have some long stuff. Travis's post on Blackman and Bryant was long.
Yeah.
You know, you got to sit and read that for a while.
Right.
And so we're trying to do more, I've definitely talked to everybody about trying to do more podcasts. But unfortunately we tend to go too long. we talk way too much. You get three guys talking too much, you can have an hour and a half podcast real quick, and then you can't listen to that over lunch.
Yeah. So. Well, I think the thing that I've always, and this is probably how you think about it too, but that I've always tried to do with Pistols Firing is create something, and like you said, like the comment section is whatever. It doesn't make any sense. It's not linear. It's not anything. Like, it's just there. And I've always tried to create content, create something that people would copy and paste the URL and stick it in an email to their friend and say, hey, this is cool, check it out. And that's what I always think of when I'm creating a post, when I'm creating something original. Now, people aren't going to do that with the Daily Bullets because it's just, it's every day, it's the same thing. But when you're trying to come up with original material, that's kind of how I think about it.
Yeah. No, and I think as people look at the sites, you know, the big battle is always consistent activity.
Yeah.
You've got to be posting things that, you know, people are going to come to your site regardless of what's going on because they know there's going to be something there. I mean, I'm going to go back to, I can set my clock to Daily Bullets. You know,
well,
like sitting in traffic today, Kyle. I'm at a dead stop because of an accident, and I've got my phone out going, where are the bullets? Are the bullets up yet? Are the bullets up yet?
Yeah, ever since you told me that you get worried if they're not up by 8 a.m. Eastern, I've tried to set my clock more by that because I don't want you to worry that something has happened to me or to Pistols Firing.
Well, I'm glad you said 8 a.m. Eastern because I actually probably said 9 a.m. Eastern. But if you want to do 8 a.m. Eastern, that's okay.
I did want to talk real quick before we go. Oklahoma State basketball. We are, I believe, 17 days away from the first game, and a lot of expectations this year. What, in your mind, constitutes a successful season for Oklahoma State?
Don't drop the ball like the football team has. No, okay, that was bad. You know, here we go. We've been picked in a tie for first. Who was that? The media, or that came out today? Was that the media that we were tied with KU as the pick for first place?
I believe it was. Yes,
I think we got five votes each for first place. Boy, this is you know. The old OSU fan in me has a very hard time letting go of some of this stuff and just kind of going with the moment. But I wonder if coming back and that 1 year of experience is going to create a situation where Marcus Smart can better carry the team than he did last year. And when I say carry, I don't mean the team's useless. You know, Markell Brown is great. The fact that he improved his jump shot was huge last year. But I still have a big question mark about LeBryan Nash, because he's one of those players, if he would just come out with the same attitude every game, you know, that guy's brutal for teams to deal with. You know, Forte, you know, if he can pick up a couple of points on his three-point, you know, percentage on his three-point shooting, it'd be very interesting to see what happens with Clark and Gaskins coming in and how they impact the squad. We've been hearing some good words, good stuff about Murphy, Kamari Murphy. I liked your comment about the Instagram pic on the Bullets. It had the Cobbins and the question mark. You know. And by the way, folks, you got to start now. If you're going to keep up keeping track of all the exclamation points that Travis Ford uses, you got to start now. You're not going to be able to catch up in a month.
You might need to make a spreadsheet for it.
If somebody comes up with an aggregator automatically finds how many exclamation points he uses, because that's he got, I think, two or three in that tweet this morning. But I'm excited. But you know what? I need to see a team that plays with organization rather than just athletic ability. That's what I want to see out of the team. I want to see them come out and on offense, you know, okay, you know, we're going to break you down because of the set we're running, versus just depending on our athletic skill. I think defensively the team will be pretty good.
Yeah. And the poll you were referencing, it was five, first place votes for both Kansas and Oklahoma State. So that was the coach's kind of preseason deal. And they were tied it for first with 77 points each, which that just means that everybody voted each team either first or second. It's actually only the third time that Oklahoma State's been picked to win the Big 12. And neither of the other times did they actually win it. So I don't know if that's good or bad. But yeah, I think you're right. The thing for me is that I feel like Ford's teams have never really had an identity, and even last year, you know, that was a team that was really talented, and yeah, they kind of lacked a big guy inside in terms of scoring and a consistent rebounder, but I mean, that team's got to be better than the first round, you know, the first round of the tournament. And I just hope that with, you know, they've got some continuity now. Everybody from last year pretty much is returning, and you have to create an identity with this team, and I don't know what that is. I screamed basically all of last year that they needed to employ at least a half court trap, if not three quarters court trap, because they're so athletic and so, you know, they don't match up that well in the half court, and Travis Ford running half court sets is not something that I'm real excited about. And so I just, you know, maybe that's it. They have more guys this year, so maybe they feel like they can do it more. But I think early on, I'm definitely going to be looking to see what their identity is and kind of who they are as a team.
Yeah, and I think we're going to know. I mean, they've got a pretty good non-conference schedule, you know, this year. So I think by the time we get to conference play, I don't think there's going to be any question, you know, what we think we're going to see out of the team going into conference play, because they're not going to be lollygagging, you know, hop, skipping, a jump, and then be in conference play. They're going to have to put up some good games. They're going to be exposed nationally, and there's going to be a lot of attention nationally. So it'll be very interesting to see how the team responds to that. I'm excited, definitely excited to get that going.
One thing I'm really excited, and I know this started a couple years ago, but I love the home-and-home schedule for the Big 12 to where you play. So OSU gets Kansas twice, and, I mean, those two games are going to be just awesome.
I'm
pumped about, you know, Smart's return to Allen Fieldhouse. I don't think they're real fond of him doing backflips on their court last year, and KU coming to Gallagher, but I really like that they switched that when they went to 10 teams to an 18-game schedule in the Big 12. I think that's, you know, I think that's awesome because you get to play KU twice a year and all that. So
yeah, that was a great move. That the home and home stuff is great. If anybody out there is not excited, all you got to do, just it's very simple. All you got to do is either you could go to the Daily Bullets today or from Thursday and look at the highlights that you posted, the YouTube video of the highlights, or go to YouTube and just look up the overtime period. I got chills listening to Hunziker's call of Cobbins' layup.
Are you talking about
noise?
Are you talking about against OU?
OU, yes, yeah, the overtime against OU. Right. And the crowd noise. I can remember listening to that game. I was driving someplace last year, and so I was able to get. I'm signed up on Oklahoma State's website, so I can stream the audio of Hunziker. And I remember having to take the earpiece out of my ear because the crowd noise was so loud, and you couldn't hear Hunziker's call.
Yeah, it was. So, I mean, there were multiple games like that last year. You had the KU game at home, the Baylor game at home, the Iowa State game at home, and they were all really, really good games. And I think that, you know, like I said, the two Kansas games this year should just be really classic games. I think that Kansas is going to be good, and we keep hearing that they are. I hope both teams kind of live up to their billing because, you know, we've seen in football that doesn't necessarily happen. It should. I think Kansas is you know, Bill Self is obviously the best coach in the Big 12, and they're always right there. And I can't imagine Oklahoma State not being the first or second best team in the Big 12. So it should, but I really hope it does.
No, I think it'll be good. And very interesting, by the way, a little tiny bit of info coming out. I think there was a tweet about it from one of the one of the ESPN guys, Goodman, maybe, commenting about Wiggins and him not being the best guy at practice. So now there's a little scuttlebutt going around. Is it his work ethic or is Kansas really that good? So I thought that was pretty intriguing.
Yeah, it is intriguing. And I'm intrigued by him and by, you know, kind of his trajectory. It's tough to, you know, we heard all those same things about Marcus Smart last year, and it's kind of like, hey, let's slow our roll a little bit before we actually see him play, and he obviously lived up to everything that was said about him. I'm interested to see if Wiggins can do the same, and the Big 12 Player of the Year race should be really, really interesting.
Yes, it should be.
Okay, Robert, appreciate you coming on. This was a blast. We'll definitely do it again once basketball gets rolling. And, you guys check out Robert's work on Cowboys Ride for free. And, thanks again.
No, thank you very much, Kyle. It was great.
Okay, we'll talk to you later.
Take care.